There's apparently the potential for a bacon shortage in this country.
Brian, we have a Muslim in the White House. Of course there's a bacon shortage.
This is the RX Power Hour. Powerlifting, strongman, and superstar athletes. Welcome to the RX Power Hour. Here's Mike Johnston and Brian Hildebrand.
Yeah, the same name, new voices, and a new purpose. Welcome to the RX Power Hour Strength Radio, the definitive name in strength training, nutrition, and promotions in the strength sports industry. With me, Brian Hildebrand, and my much shorter and less good-looking cohort, Columbus, Ohio, American Strongman Corporation Vice President Mike Johnston. Mike, interesting news from World's Strongest Man. Besides the Americans placing out of the top three, for those who didn't listen to last week, and Zydrunas winning, you've had some unconfirmed reports and some confirmed reports about things happening later this year.
Yeah, the next big show coming up, a lot of shows overseas, but obviously, and it'll get bigger as it goes, the Arnold Europe, which is going to be taking place in Spain. Confirmed was Michael Jenkins for sure. It's kind of an MHP thing, sponsorship-wise at least. So, you know, they always want to have some of their guys there. So certainly Michael Jenkins. But Brian Shaw is not going to be attending. I don't have a definitive reason why. But Michael Burke will be filling in his stead. And I believe he will be just fine and do very well. He was going to go to Iceland, I believe it was. But as you know, a lot of these international shows, obviously our economy sucks here, but the European economies are even worse. And it used to be 8 years ago that all the Americans wanted to go compete overseas because everything was paid for. It's not that way anymore. In fact, most of the shows overseas, the athletes pay their own way. There's only a few guys, a few marquee names here in America. Obviously, you can pick them out. You're Brian Shaw, Michael Jenkins now, one of those guys. Derek Poundstone certainly was one of those guys that they would have their way paid. Even Michael Burke last year when he did so well and earned himself a spot at Worlds by going to that Australian show, you know, he paid his own transportation there. But so he's going to be going to the Arnold Spain, the Arnold Europe show. Taking the place of Brian Shaw, who's, I don't have a confirmed report as why he's out. I suspect it's an injury. I know he was having some injury issues during World's Strongest Man.
And were those, do you think those were bicep related from the Arnold injury, or do you think maybe he's got something different going on?
It's hard to say. I mean, anymore with that surgery, that bicep surgery, guys are coming back faster and faster from that surgery. So it's certainly possible, but I think what ends up happening is that the bicep anchor is attached very well, but the rest of the arm, the connective tissue, certainly the musculature in the shoulder, the traps, posterior delt, all the supportive musculature in the forearm, while you're waiting for that biceps to recover, you're just not getting the same amount of training in that other area. And, what's that?
So especially at this level, when you're talking about the massive poundages these guys are handling.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's going to get a good 3 or 4 months of training. But when you take something, when you take an off season where you go down to maybe 70%, and then you got to build back up for 3 or more months, 3 months or 2 months to get back to 100%, that's one thing. But when you have that kind of an injury, you're not going back to 70%. You're going back to 30% or 20%. You've got to build all the way back up. And, the musculature in and around that area, certainly in the joints just adjacent to the injured joint, obviously this being the elbow, so you start talking about the wrist and hand and then certainly the shoulder, they're going to be affected. All the musculature and the supportive cast, the soft tissue injuries, or the soft tissue, I should say, it's going to not be as strong as it was. So it's going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. I mean, you've had a bicep rupture. I've done both of mine, and you're exactly right. Brian Shaw's never really had a devastating injury from strength training, per se, that I'm aware of. And so that may, the question is, how did that affect his psyche going into Worlds, and then how did that affect his ability to lift, and was he compensating? I mean, there's just a lot of unknowns without talking to him. So we wish Brian Shaw nothing but the best, and hopefully he's able to recover from this. And I would assume we probably probably won't see him again in competition until Arnold, the end of February, beginning of March next year, right?
Yeah, I would say that, you never can tell. He might want a tune-up match. A lot of times guys will go to a smaller show, maybe Ode's show out there in California. A lot of times guys will just want to get their feet wet. You could see him show up at something like that just to kind of get a little of the shake, a little bit of the rust off, the game day rust. But I'm sure he's going to be looking at the Arnold, obviously the big payday and that kind of a thing. And then certainly with his sponsor being sort of the marquee sponsor at the Arnold, I'm sure that there's some obligations there. So.
Right, you would assume so. Yeah, he certainly has a couple opportunities. Nothing really going on in December, especially in the U.S. But you've got Ode Haugen puts on the event at the L.A. Fit Expo in January every year, and pretty successfully. I mean, there's a lot of guys who go there to get it out of the way early so that they can prepare for stuff later in the year. And then it was slated for January this year. It didn't happen, but it's starting to gain a little bit more traction from the reading I've been doing. And this Giants Live qualifier in Green Bay, Wisconsin in January, I mean, it's the last place on earth that I want to be in January is Green Bay, Wisconsin. But it sounds like it's gaining traction. They may actually have a Giants Live qualifier here in the U.S. in 2013 in January. So you could see that either.
Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full. That is a big negative on that contest.
Are we sure about it?
If they do have it, I don't know if you followed it, how closely you followed it, but it started out with they were going to have all this money, and they were going to bring in, Kaz, and they were going to do it up the whole, bring in all the pros and everything. And some of the guys they got on early, from a pro standpoint, a lot of lightweight pros, ASC pros, some of the younger guys, obviously Dave Oslin, he's right there in the area.
Right.
Tomas Rodriguez, he's not doing any show in January.
Did you just call Dave Oslin a younger guy or a local guy?
Local guy, local.
I think you said local. Younger because he definitely qualifies as a...
He's
got a RP card.
Yeah, he's been around for a while, but he's not that old.
Are you sure?
He's certainly a lot younger than you.
Well, I mean, that's not hard to do anymore. I mean, really. I mean, I qualified my AARP card a number of years ago, but that's another story. Yeah, so I have read it, and there's a lot of the amateur guys right now on Facebook circulating, trying to get votes because they're going to, the Giants Live promoters are banking at quote-unquote a pro-am, and it's still active on the board on Facebook where guys are still looking for votes, and there's a list of maybe 25 amateur guys here from North America, from Canada, and the U.S., and so I don't think that it's dead in the water from what I'm reading, but you certainly would know better than I would. From an athlete's perspective, I think it's still a lot of hope.
Yeah. Obama offered a lot of hope as well. How'd that go?
Yeah, I just saw a blip tonight that we're paying 44 cents more a gallon this year than we were a year ago. So,
I'll be honest with you, dude. I was at CarMax today looking to trade in. I have a Trailblazer. It's nothing. It's not like a freaking Suburban. It's just the midsize or, upper midsize, whatever it classifies as, six-cylinder. Right. I'm getting like 16, 18 miles on the highway. It's ridiculous. You can't afford to drive anywhere,
Right. No, I have a Hummer H3, so I'm right there with you. On the freeway, it's for what it is, for the flying brick on four wheels, it's okay. It does better than the H2, which I think was in the single digits, but it's fuel mileage is a bear. And I was just driving by tonight when I took one of the boys to jiu-jitsu. I was driving by to go get fuel, and I was looking at all the used car dealerships. It's the kind of place where you buy there and you pay there, you buy there, but they do their own financing, and there's like 15 of them along this one road. And they were all full of big SUVs, all, mid-2000s to 2010, Yukons, Suburbans, Escalades, Expeditions, Excursions, and here in Texas, everybody drives a truck or an SUV. Everybody. And I was really surprised to see that many. I think people are buying all these new, the Fiat 500s, the new Volkswagen Bug that they came out with, and a lot of that little IQ. I think Thor Bjornsson weighs more than it does. It's even smaller than the smart car, if that's possible.
Wow.
And so I've seen a lot more of those on the road, so it's hard to say what's going on in the car industry, but But it is what it is at this point. Hey, Mike, we've got a couple things we're going to cover tonight. You know, we've got this. I've been hyping this up for the past few weeks. Bros versus Pros, 12 Double Trouble at the Phoenix Europa, October 20th. And we have two pros. Our first pro is our male pro is just did the Olympia, a week and a half ago? He was at the Olympia for his first time. Competes in the 212 class. Only weighs in, I'm going to guess he weighs in under 170, probably 168 to 170. We'll find out for sure. He's 5'1". His name is Derek Farnsworth. And if you type in Derek Farnsworth into YouTube and look at some of his leg training videos, they are brutal, brutal, brutal. And he is just the nicest guy you want to meet. He's got some smack talk for us. He texted me yesterday or the day before about his training session. He did a squat deadlift training session at about 80%. He did 315, which is the weight we're going to be using. But he only used about 80% capacity. And he says he smoked right through it. And he says there's nobody that's going to beat him. So we'll see what Derek has to say. And then tonight, later on, we have probably one of the most controversial people in the powerlifting community. You either love him or you hate him. I don't think anybody wants to dress like him or have a mustache like him. They're, you know, he's kind of got that Raleigh Fingers, Oakland A's, 1970s thing going on. Sean Catterley from Hardcore Powerlifting, he's going to be on a little bit later tonight. But I want to take a quick break so we can give Derek a call, get him on the line, and talk to him about Bros versus Pros. And I want to touch, too, when we get done with Derek, too. Mike, you've got your XPC event coming up, and it's the 27th and the 28th, and you're lifting on the 28th. I just want to see how your prep's going for that. So we will be right back with RX Per Hour Strength Radio right after this.
Custom Stacks Nutrition and its team of dedicated fitness professionals are here to help you achieve your fitness, sports, and body transformation goals. Custom Stacks Nutrition offers discount sports supplements, vitamins, and nutritional products to meet the needs of all types of fitness enthusiasts, from weekend warriors to competitive athletes. And bodybuilders, and everyone interested in better health. We offer rock-bottom wholesale prices with easy ordering, top-rated service, and super fast shipping. All RX Power Hour listeners get 5% off all orders of $100 or more. Just visit CustomStacksNutrition.com and enter the code POWERHOUR when ordering. Custom Stacks Nutrition, your number one internet discount supplement retailer.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com and expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved. Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk.
Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to fusionbodybuilding.com today.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage? While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop, and also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. This is the RX Power Hour.
Yep, we're back. Welcome to RX Power Strength Radio with Mike Johnston and myself, Brian Hildebrand. On the phone with us is IFBB Pro and now Olympia, Mr. Olympia veteran in the 212 class, Mr. Derek Farnsworth. Derek is our pro at our upcoming Bros versus Pros 12 Double Trouble at the Phoenix Europa, October 20th. And excuse me, Derek, first I just want to ask you, what was your experience like going to the Olympia for the first time? I know I've followed you on Facebook and watching, and you were more than excited to go. Give me your perspective on it.
The weeks before, we even knew I was going to even make it or not. And I had that ill feeling in the back of your mind, like it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like something's going to block it. So the last 3 weeks leading up to that Sarasota show, I was in knots. You know what I mean? It was just very stressful. And then once we were over the hump of that, it was, okay, I'm going. And lovely, lovely guys at 212 class were blowing up my phone, texting me like, bring clothes, do this, you know what I mean, kind of giving me the pointers, which was great because, they're all my boys and I know them, and that was great. So, even when I actually got to the Olympia early on Tuesday, just so I could kind of de-stress a little bit, because I knew once Thursday came, it hit you so hard, you know what I mean, because you got to do so many things and you're running around. I knew it was still a show to go to, you know what I mean? I mean, everyone's like, you're just happy to be there, but I did want to look, the best I could on stage, so... I made sure I got in early, and just being there, I can also say it was probably one of the smoothest shows as far as, you run into problems with, you forget something or your flight or, I can't complain about one thing about the whole show. It was just one of those great experiences you dream about. We all live for that one moment to step on it, and that was it. You know what I mean? I was on stage on Thursday, helping them with the lighting. They wanted to use a couple guys, and I was with Sean Rohde on the stage, and, I was like, he's like, it's not going to hit you till Saturday night. Because I still couldn't believe sitting on the stage, I was like, this is nuts, and he's like, dude, it's not going to hit you till then. Because I still couldn't believe when I was on that stage. I've been backstage before. I've had the chance to go back there, and I kind of knew what was going on backstage, but to actually stand on that stage and, be up there, even with the guys in the top four and as in the pre-judging, I can remember standing there like, holy shit, I'm on the Olympia stage.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my mom in the audience. I'm looking at my girlfriend in the audience, and I can see these people, and I'm like, and I'm so relaxed on stage. It's almost like, should I be this relaxed on stage? But again, it's been 24 years, and I've been on 1,000 stages. But it was such one of those moments where, everyone, Peter Wingdow, everybody that I knew was, taking every moment. And I think that's the biggest thing that I was actually happy was, I didn't, you saw me posting things on Facebook a million times, was I did not want this time to pass by and not live it, live in the moment. I videotaped everything, every stupid little thing that I could think of, just to remember the moment, because sometimes it goes by too fast, and I may never make it back there again. So I lived every moment like they try to tell you to do.
Right, right. Yeah, I know Kim was just a little more than excited about the whole weekend for you, and you're in San Diego, so you had a short trip to Vegas, and the weather change wasn't too great for you, I imagine. So I would imagine the biggest, the most difficult part was maintaining your prep after, because you did the Dallas Europa, then that was where you essentially sunk your teeth into making this a reality. Now you have to maintain that prep and not even know 100% until a couple days before whether you're actually going to step on the stage. So I can imagine the I would think from my perspective, that would be the most challenging part, is just trying to stay on point and in the back of your mind knowing it may or may not happen.
Yeah, you hit it, you nailed it on the head. That's what it was. It was, you know, and the biggest thing that Chris made it helpful was, you know, moving a diet like it is for the show. And, you know, if you know Chris's prep, it's never the same. You know, yeah. It isn't like, I don't even ask him, what are we going to do next week? It's, you know, I send my pictures, he tells me what to do, whatever. He doesn't tell me, we're going to do this with you for the next couple of days. I just shut off, and it just happened to be that I had to do a lot of cardio in those 3 weeks. Whereas before, I wasn't doing much, but like he spoke on the online, he talked about, you need to be, if you're already in shape, you can fall out of shape easily. And he actually shocked my body with a lot of cardio, and it was kind of a blessing in disguise, because I was so stressed out, you know, am I going to make it? I had so many people like, you know, you're going to make it, and you know, you know, I love optimistic, you know, people, but I'm a realist. And don't tell me I'm going to make it when you have no clue. The reality is I could lose by a point. You know, I knew the point system backwards and forward, and I knew that if I had to jump in that last show, I'm going to go jump in the last show. And, you know, but you don't want to, too, you know. So every day going by, he had me doing, like, some hard step moves and all that, and I was like, thank God. Because I'd get off the machine and be so exhausted from doing it that I knew, okay, I could, you know, go home and go to bed because the fatigue factor kicked in. But every day, it's just like, Jesus Christ. I look at the score thing, you know, all right, this guy loses and this guy loses. This guy makes it in. I got to go. And, you know, when they had that show after the Europa, 7 days later, you know, right. I saw what happened. I was like, holy shit, you know. All right, now I'm in fourth place. Okay, if this guy goes. And I was like, in the back of my mind, I got to go to Sarasota. I really thought, you know, me and Chris were going to go. And looking at the score sheets, that Sami Hadid guy wasn't going to the show. I was actually talking to Robert Chang and a couple other guys, and they were letting me know this person's going, that person's going. And I knew that no matter what happened in Sarasota, that unless, you know, lightning strike or something, I would be okay, you know. But, you know, at the same time, it's not reality until you are told, hey, you're going, you know.
Until the ink is dry on the paper, you don't really know.
Yeah, when Robert Chang gave me that thing Saturday night, I was emceeing the Tournament of Champions out here.
Right.
And Robert Chang brought an actual contract to the show, and he gave it to John Lindsay, and they pinned it on stage. And for about 15 minutes, Kim had to do the MC duties for me because I just couldn't talk. I was just like, I lost it a little bit, so, you know.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well-deserved. Certainly well-deserved, because you're a hard-working guy and certainly one of the most likable guys in the IFBB.
Oh, I love hearing that, too. You know me, I'm blunt and real, and I've been this for a long time, and I don't want to be fake. You know, you want to tell, like, as you know, Brian, too, that's the best way to be. There's a lot of up-and-comers and young guys coming up, and this sport has changed over the years where there isn't as many contracts, and everybody wants something like tomorrow. You got to bust your ass for years to get to levels, and I don't think a lot of people understand that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Now, that's part of the reason that when Dave Palumbo and I were going through the lists of people of who we wanted to see as potential competitors in our Bros versus Pros programs, you certainly had always been towards the top of the list, and we just couldn't ever make it happen because you had a conflict where you were guest posing here, or you were speaking here, or you
MC the show.
Right. And so when the schedule finally came together, I was really excited. And, you know, for us, this is the biggest show that we've done. Out of 12 that we've done so far, this is the first time we've not done one at a gym, but we've done one at an expo. So it's just fitting that one of our favorite people just happens to be the pro coming into this. So you sent me a text the other day with your training. Because you finally get to eat again after your long, long extended prep for the Olympia. Now you're eating, trying not to rebound too hard. Mike, you sent me a text with some numbers for you. You did a squat and deadlift just to kind of simulate what's going to happen in two weekends from now on the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Go through that. Again, we're doing, you're going to be the pro for our event, and mm-hmm. you're going to do a squat, a 315-pound squat. And then we're going to get probably about an hour or so break, and then you guys are going to follow up with a 315-pound deadlift for reps, as many as you can do, combined totals, or mm-hmm. overall winner. And early on, you said you're unbeatable. And I think, based on the training videos I've seen, based on the person I know you are, I think that you are going to be very, very, very difficult to beat. Tell me about your training a couple days ago when you simulated the
event. Well, so I haven't trained for basically for a week and came back in, and you know the rebound effect from, you know, retaining water, stuff like that. And right. Unfortunately, which for me, this is probably the worst I've ever had. I mean, I usually retain about 6 pounds of water tops. Right. I think I'm like 18 pounds up. So that's, and yeah, you know, and I'm not eating, you know, it's nothing special. I just think, you know, I think if we put my water a lot more, I think I get a little bit salty. So it's a little bit, it's heavy on my belly, you know what I mean, where it's right. Natural my flow would be, so my conditioning is not there. I'm not worried about strength and all that, but if I can't breathe, I can't perform. Right. So I did deadlifts actually on a Tuesday, and I tanked. I think I did like 315 for 20, and my belly was killing me. I can say I had more. So I kind of a little pissy, and I just try to make sure that I just get my weight down, and do a little more cardio and flush the water. Right. Came to legs on Sunday, and I haven't done legs in about 2.5 weeks from prep, so I went into that a little bit reluctant, of course, because of what happened with deads, but squatting is never going to be a problem. Like that one, I mean, whoever comes to that show better be their best, because if I'm not going to be at my best, they're still going to see about 50 reps. Because I did 30 with 315 for 30, 405 for 20, and then went back to 315 for 30. Nice. And I know I had another gear in the tank, no problem. I know that the way I felt that day was, you know, I still felt a little, you know, that funny feeling belly when you kind of feel a little bloated from food, and I still feel a little heavy. But, you know, going in, the weight felt light as hell. You know, I knew at 405, if I wanted to push it, we could have went to 25-30, you know, and my guys were like, Jesus Christ, it looks like you need to miss a beat, you know. Don't get me wrong, now my legs are sore as shit right now, but I mean, it was just, you know, I'm definitely going, I thought it would be worse, and, you know, there's no way I'd bag out on the thing. But I got nervous, you know what I mean, because I didn't know how my body respond, but I hope someone brings it, that's all I ask.
Yeah, well,
you know
Mark,
I'm going to bring it, huh? Who's that?
So Mark Lurch is coming in from New York. He's a 25-year-old kid that works on the docks on Long Island, and he has won. He beat Derek Poundstone in the
Oh, he's a deadlifter, right? Yes, yeah.
Right. And yeah. he beat Derek. He beat two of their other pro. He beat in Chicago. We didn't have a pro in Chicago because Derek was supposed to compete. Poundstone was supposed to compete, and he had a back injury coming into the Arnold. And he didn't want to push it, so he. He didn't compete, but he won there. He pulled 405 for 46 or 47 reps in Hartford, Connecticut. But he didn't have to do a squat beforehand. So
that's what I was going to ask. We'll make a big difference on that one.
Yeah.
Because I did
exactly.
I actually did that at Flex Pro. I did the squat and the dead back to back.
Nice.
I think we had a longer break. I think we had about a 3-hour break.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to be that nice. You're getting a shorter
break. No, you know, but, you know, I think actually 3 hours is actually too much. I think the hour is actually better for me. Yeah. I mean, I think as long as we get, I think as long as the guys get their breathing, you know, they get just, you know, 30 minutes is going to give them enough to recover. You know what I mean? Because it's only one set.
Right.
I mean, they're doing four or five sets of 30.
Mike, what is the most important thing that these guys can do to prepare once they've done the 315 squat for reps? What can they do to prepare themselves if they've only got about an hour window before they're going to go bust ass and knock out deadlifts for the same weight? What's your, from a physical therapy standpoint, from a powerlifting training competitor standpoint, what's your recommendation to these guys? What can they do?
You know, I almost got to think that the best thing to do is going to be staying warm. And for me, I'd almost rather go like with 15 to 20 minutes at the most. An hour, even 3 hours, just seems ridiculous. I think that you would get so stiff and so cold that you would not perform well, where an hour almost seems like too long. You know, having fast-acting sugars on board ahead of time, obviously, is going to help. You know, when you do a strongman contest, a little bit different than powerlifting, obviously, you're staying up there, you know, for just a split second, then you're going and sitting back down, and you're going back out. And then bodybuilding, you have a very short period of time, but you go in completely depleted, so that's a different sort of dynamic altogether. But in a strongman event, you talk to something like an America's Strongest Man, like we just saw, you know, where you have to go hard for 90 seconds, and then you got to get right back out there and turn it right back around in 20 minutes. I would almost think that a good strongman competitor would be the best suited for this kind of thing with that 20-minute window. An hour seems like a long time almost. But I would think that obviously your hydration ahead of time
I mean, what you drink right then isn't going to matter. It's what you've done ahead of time. So
yeah,
you don't
more hanging out with it before, right?
Correct, correct. And things like, you know, for me, it's probably more of a mental thing than anything else, was the brown sugar Pop-Tarts. But honey, honey, quick-acting things that are going to get in, going to get into your system and let you go. And you'll have some of that with you. But it's the training. One of the things we used to do for Strongman is we would take a 315 squat in the gym and do 20 reps and then immediately run outside to a 700-pound tire and flip it for 10 reps. And then that would be a set. And then you would come back in. Because if you had to do some kind of a medley like we saw that death medley, you had 90 seconds and you were going all out for 90 seconds. And essentially that's what you have going on here, you know?
Right.
I would love to, Derek, I would love to do this. I have a meet. That weekend will be my down weekend, and I compete the following weekend in powerlifting. But this is the kind of meet that I would love to do. The 315 or the 405 for reps. I think that would just be an awesome thing to compete in, just for the fun of it, you know.
Well, we have two more events coming up later. We have one coming up. It's either the first or second weekend of December on Long Island, and then we're going to be out of Mike Jenkins' gym out in Pennsylvania. The middle of February. I don't have a firm date yet, but we'll be there in the middle of February, and so I may have to drag your butt out there and let's see how well you do. Guys, I need to cut this short because we've got our next guest coming up here shortly. Derek, we're going to be in touch. You're going to be our guest next week, so we can talk certainly more at length about prep for this kind of stuff, and I want to touch on nutrition next week, what it took for you to get to where you did for the Olympia, and then what you had to do turnaround to get ready for Bros versus Pros in such a short period of time. So, Derek, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it, and I will talk to you soon, but we'll definitely have you on again next week, and we'll have more time to get further in depth. And again, IFBB pro Derek Farnsworth just made his Olympia debut, will be our pro at the Bros versus Pros 12 Double Trouble in Phoenix, at the Phoenix Euro Open, Phoenix on October 20th. So Derek, I will talk to you soon. Thanks again for coming on, bud.
Thank you, guys. See you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Take care.
Yeah, Mike, this is going to be a really brutal show for these guys to try and put this whole thing together, but I agree. And unfortunately, just from a timing perspective, I'd like to do it a shorter period of time. I think they'd like to do it too, but we've got the girls competing as well, plus a one-rep max, and we've got a real, you know, limited amount of time. Plus, I actually got some really exciting news from Ed Pariso. Ed and Betty Pariso put the Europas on, as you well know, and Ed called me the day before yesterday, it had some interesting news. It's not definitive that will be awesome for any of the competitors. They'll certainly get a lot more exposure, but I don't have a definitive answer from him yet. He approached me with a really cool deal, so we'll see how that plays out here in the next week or so, and hopefully by next week before we head out to Phoenix, we'll have an answer from Ed. And like I said, it'll be a really good thing for the athletes. So talking about Derek training and getting ready for Bros versus Pros, how's training for you for this XPC event on October 27th, 28th? I know you're competing, you're lifting on the 28th, not the 27th, but how's prep going for you?
It's good. We just had we had a heavy week this week, taking a projected third attempt, and it went pretty well. I actually posted a video up there on our Facebook page of myself and the team. And I kind of left it a little bit different this time. Chuck Vogelpohl is in coaching mode right now, rehabbing a little bit, a neck injury. And, you know, it's just, he's obviously a prolific lifter. He's been around forever, but just a great coach. And, you know, so you can kind of hear him giving instruction and coaching points all through the vid. But, yeah, taking some big weights, I mean, it matters when you get out there. I have a strategy. This weekend, we're going to drive about an hour away to train at a gym where one of the side judges for the meet works out. So we'll actually go out to that gym, our final big, we'll take our openers this weekend at a different gym, just so we can get the call from one of the official side judges and, you know, sort of, make you get into that depth, make you get into that hole. So that's our strategy. Actually, Chuck called me this afternoon and told me to tell the team to get ready to head out to Zanesville at the Iron Forged gym and we'll be out there training this weekend. I'll shoot some vid from that, and we'll get it put up. But yeah, so we can get to depth.
I've been to that gym. I took a Zumba class there. It's it was either a Zumba or a Zumba Pilates combination class. It's
they have Zumba there on the weekend. they've got Zumba. Yeah, you know, it's one of those big Ohio women teaching it, but you know they've got it.
named Helga, right?
Well, it's, you know, it's Zumba with a capital Z, so you know.
Hey, before we go to commercial break, Mike, I don't want the answer now. You may or may not know this, but we'll talk about this a little bit later. I'm giving you some time to think. Are you ready for this weekend's sports question? You got your thinking toque on? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. In 1967, during the World Series, something happened once that's never happened before in World Series history, ever, still hasn't been broken to this day. Three people did something in one game, and I'll even tell you the team that they played for, the Boston Red Sox. In 1967, during the World Series, what did Carl Yastrzemski, Reggie Smith, and Rico Petrocelli, what did they accomplish in one game in the World Series in 1967? That's the question of the day.
Wow. I bet Jeff, the producer, knows. I bet Jeff knows. I found out tonight that Jeff was a big baseball geek.
Oh, Jesus. Really? I didn't know that. Fuck. That's wrong. Well, he's from New York. I guess you're kind of surrounded by that whole Yankee, Mets, whatever, mysterious voodoo baseball thing.
You know, my best friend in high school, Joe Aubin, he used to do the box scores for every single Red Sox game. He loved it. Baseball fans are baseball fans. You got to love them.
Yep, exactly. And they can be baseball fans.
He's going to be pissed at me if I get this wrong.
1967 World Series, those three players, Carl Yastrzemski, Reggie Smith, and Rico Petrocelli, did something that no three other players have ever done in World Series history, ever. Still has not to this day. It's still a record. It's still standing. I want you to think about what it is, and I'll give you a clue. They did not strike out consecutively. That's happened many, many, many times. But these three guys did something that nobody else has ever done in World Series history. So I'm leaving you, Mike, with that. We will be right back. We got some bills to pay, believe it or not. And we got a word from our good people at Customs Tax Nutrition, Scott Hohag, who we spent some good quality time with at the Olympia. We'll have one of his commercials coming up. So we will be right back.
Customs Tax Nutrition and its team of dedicated fitness professionals are here to help you achieve your fitness, sports, and body transformation goals. Customs Tax Nutrition offers discount sports supplements, vitamins, and nutritional products to meet the needs of all types of fitness enthusiasts, from weekend warriors to competitive athletes and bodybuilders, and everyone interested in better health. We offer rock-bottom wholesale prices with easy ordering, top-rated service, and super fast shipping. All RX Power Hour listeners get 5% off all orders of $100 or more. Just visit CustomStacksNutrition.com and enter the code POWERHOUR when ordering. Custom Stacks Nutrition, your number one internet discount supplement retailer.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved. Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hey, this is Mike Johnston with the House of Pain contest calendar, October 13th, 2012. On the strongman side, in Nampa, Idaho, the Genesis Fitness Medley Mayhem. And in Anchorage, Alaska, at the Alaska Fitness Expo, the strongest man and woman in Alaska. On the powerlifting side, starting October 10th in Hamilton, Ohio, the SLP Bench Press Deadlift and Curl Championship. On October 12th and 13th in Athens, Georgia, the IPO World Powerlifting Championship. On October 13th in Durham, Connecticut, the APA Beast of the East. Athens, Georgia, APC America's Cup International Powerlifting Championship. And in Pompano Beach, Florida, the 2012 SPF Raw Big Dog Championship. In Tribes Hill, New York, the SSA Asylum Power Powerlifting. And in Ashtabula, Ohio, the Ashtabula Bench Press. And in Columbus, Ohio, the Lexan Extreme RPS Ohio Nationals. And if you're not into lifting anything heavier than a fork, in Antioch, California, on October 13th, the Lumpy's Diner Burger Eating Contest. And that is your October 13th House of Pain contest calendar. House of Pain, only the strong survive.
This is the RX Power Hour.
And we're back. Welcome to the RX Power Hour Strength Radio, the definitive name in strength training, nutrition, and promotions in the strength sports industry. I'm Brian Hildebrand. Mike Johnston, my much shorter and less good-looking co-host over in Columbus, Ohio. Mike, we've got a couple things to cover.
I've gone from sexy, bearded, and now shorter. What's next?
Well, we're sticking with the truth, right? The premises were sticking
with the truth. I heard that you did say much better looking today, so I will give you kudos for that.
No, you're going to have to listen to the replay, because the replay does not, the word much was not part of that conversation. So less was the word that I used. So just you're going to have to listen to the replay. So you make sure that I'm staying on task, because I'm definitely the better looking one in this relationship.
Wow.
We have a couple things. We have a couple things to talk about. First, we have some breaking news that this actually came up a couple weeks ago. Nobody's really talked about it. In our community, I think this is a really important thing to talk about. You brought it up to me tonight. I did some reading on the break. We have a potential real big problem in this country, Mike. We're going to get into it later, but there's apparently the potential for a bacon shortage in this country. I'm scared.
We have a Muslim in the White House. Of course there's a bacon shortage.
We're going to talk more about the potential bacon shortage that started in the UK and now actually may affect the U.S. and who knows what prices are going to be like. I mean, meat prices are going through the roof as it is. And to have a bacon shortage on top of it. I'm smelling anarchy. I'm smelling something that does not sound like it's going to be a good thing for this country whatsoever. So I guess Mitt Romney for president, that's the direction I think we're going to have to go with that. Mike, this week's guest, I know you guys had a chance to chat for a few minutes. Sean Catterly, who is the promoter for Hardcore Powerlifting, has put on some terrific meets at the Ronnie Coleman and the Emerald Cup. He's got a couple new ones coming up next weekend, October 20th. He's going to be in Vegas at the Riviera Casino and Resort with a huge challenge, and there should be some big numbers, I would suspect. And then he's got another event coming up in December at the Masters Olympia. There's going to be a powerlifting event there, too. My good friend and super controversial fella for sure, Sean Catterly. How you doing tonight, Sean?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
No problem. Thanks for coming. First, let's go right into this. Let's talk about Vegas. You've got this. I've been pumping this for you because I think it's going to be an awesome show from a spectator standpoint. And from an athlete standpoint, the names that I know are trickling in, the guys that are committing to this, it just keeps getting better and better.
I think this is going to be a fantastic show. This is our third time in Las Vegas. We were at the Olympia Expo on the main expo stage in 2006 and 2007. And then from there, we brought the production to Texas. And it's nice that we're finally going to be able to return to our original place of origin. And it should be a huge lineup. It's going to be, the contest is a different format than we've ran in the past. In the past, we've had bodyweight classes or divisions, anywhere from 3 to 5 for each show, and then we'd have placings and money broken up for those different body weights. This time we're doing it as an absolute tournament, and we've got $7,000 in cash that we're going to be paying out, and we've broken it up where it's not going to be a winner-take-all format. The biggest bench press of the show picks up $1,000 cash, plus they get featured and interviewed for Iron Man magazine. Then the second biggest bench press of the show, this is not by formula, just the biggest lift outright, also gets $1,000 cash, and the third biggest bench also gets $1,000 cash. The fourth biggest bench gets $500 cash. And then because we had a number of guys whose pound for pound is extremely impressive, but they wouldn't be in the running to beat the super heavyweights, we decided to have a prize where the lightest man in the show who can get a $500 in also wins $1,000 cash. So that's going to give the chance for guys, you know, weighing roughly 200 pounds or a bit more to also have a shot at $1,000 out of that seven. And finally, to lure in some of the bigger names in the game, we added a bonus where if the winning bench press also happens to be 720 pounds or more, which would make it the biggest bench press ever performed on a major stage, we'll throw in another $1,000 bonus cash prize, and then we're going to wrap it up at the end like we always do with a power reps challenge. And we call our bench reps strict reps, meaning that they are touch and go reps, but you have to lock out your elbows. You don't have to snap them locked, but we're having each rep be about 90% of your full range of motion. And we're going to use 500 pounds this time, so the lifter who hits the most strict reps with 500 pounds wins $1,000, and then the second highest number of strict reps will win 500 cash. So that's $7,000, and anywhere from 4 to 6 people can get a chunk of that.
Nice. So you're going to have the ability to spread the cash around. It's not going to be lumped just into the super heavyweight category, which is nice, because that's easy to do. That's easy to miss out on guys, you know, not just in the bench portion of this, but some of your other events where you got guys like Joe Morrill
Richard Hawthorne.
Richard Hawthorne, the 132 kid. What a super nice guy. I loved doing my interview with him earlier this year at the Ronnie Coleman. And this is a raw show, obviously. We're not talking about equipped. This is a complete raw show, and that's all you do at Hardcore Powerlifting, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so good.
And we're also doing, the reason that we're breaking up the prize money the way that we are is there's other pro shows in the country that offer a similar amount of prize money overall. But if you look at the way it's broken down, like let's say it's a $5,000 show, they'll have $2,500 for the best lifter, you know, 242 and up, and then another $2,500 for the best lifter, 220 and under. And then as soon as you find out that one of the very top tier guys is going to be at the show, really at that point, the prize money isn't really a prize. It's just, it's a paying fee for them to show and lift. I mean, it's kind of a foregone, you know, outcome. And so for me, A, that takes away some of the excitement. And B, if you're a lifter, you know, if you're going to go into a deadlifting contest and you find out that Benedict Magnuson or Andy Bolton or whatever is in the contest and it's a winner take all, it doesn't really matter if the prize money is $10,000 or $100,000 because you're not going to get any of it.
Right, right. No, that makes perfect sense. It's nice to spread the wealth and have opportunities for guys who might not ever have that opportunity, you know, like you said, in other venues and other promotions where, you know, essentially appearance fees are being made to people inadvertently and being disguised as prize money, that's for sure.
Now, oh, for sure. And
go ahead.
I was going to say, as we continue to build our prize money, because people have asked us where our direction's going, we probably won't add to the first place prize for a significant amount of time, because what my end goal is I'd like to have just events that feature just 12 lifters, because it's so much more viewer friendly, and you can have the whole competition take place in one flight, so everybody can follow the score and they know exactly who's doing what and who's winning what. And I want to have it where we could have $12,000 prizes of $1,000 a piece, and then the winner gets the feature interviews. You know, so the winner gets twice as much glory, but everybody gets the gold. And then if you know you're going to pick up $1,000, even if you get last place, it makes the possibility of traveling from outside of country or from across the country a lot more feasible, because you know even if you come in 12th, you're going to at least get your airfare and your hotel and all that reimbursed.
Right. Yep. No, that makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. Now, Mike has an event coming up on the 27th, and we've been talking about and looking at the videos for his event. Tell me some of the guys, first of all, that are confirmed for Vegas.
Sure. Well, there's a few different stories that are...
Not to put you on the spot or anything, but give me an idea
of what we can expect
to see.
Absolutely. Well, first off, let me say that we still have, we could fit up to 4 additional lifters in our lineup, but ideally we'd like to add 3 more. So if somebody hears this program, and the minimum requirement is that you be able to strict raw bench 500 pounds or more. So the opening attempt has to be 500 pounds. So if you're out there and you're within travel distance of Las Vegas and you'd like to be in the show and be a part of the action, call us at 503-221-2238. Leave a detailed message. I'll get you signed up. We made an extra half dozen uniforms for the competitors in various large sizes, so I'm sure we'll have one for them. And people can sign up as late as, I would say, the Tuesday before the show. So that should be Tuesday the 16th. And then on to who's actually lifting, I'll talk first about the guys that I have in writing, because I think, you know, a lot of promoters out there unfortunately try and sell people on the show by talking about lifters that might come. You know, I'd rather talk about the ones that have put their autograph down saying that they're going to be there. We got a really interesting story as far as going for the overall. Al Davis from Texas, who's our, I believe, 4-time champion. He's won 4 of our shows, 3 Kings of the Benches, and 1 Clash of the Titans back when we had a bench contest under that banner. And Al has posted upwards of a 650 raw at our shows, which makes him, I believe, in like the top 12 of all time. And then at a slightly smaller venue, Al posted a 670, which put him upwards in like the top 6 of all time. So Al's very battle-tested and proven. He's competed not only in Texas, but also in Las Vegas. He's competed in Florida. He's competed at shows that, you know, he had no association with the people that were running the show. You know, he's definitely got a good track record over the last 5 years of being a consistent 600 to 670 pound raw bencher, which is monstrous. And then in the lineup facing off against him, which is, should be just a really intriguing story, is Eric Spotto. And Eric Spotto is a real big hit on YouTube and on a lot of the bodybuilding message boards because the irony is he's never done a powerlifting competition ever, to my knowledge, and right. I think he comes from an arm wrestling background, so he's certainly familiar. He's certainly familiar with the pressures of competing against someone in a strength event, but he's never gone through the rigmarole of the rules and etiquette of competition classic powerlifting. So that's kind of an X factor. But if you look at the videos of Eric, hey, Mike, he's moving.
Speaking of Mike, have you seen this video that Sean's talking about?
Well, I've seen a bunch of his videos where he's bench pressing, different things. He's doing this amount for reps and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, he, about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, something like that, posted a 705 raw bench that would not have passed in competition, for sure. But it was powerful enough that it, you could tell that he's definitely got a high 600 in him, I think, with a good clean press, if he can put it all together to be able to do it by the rules instead of in a gym situation.
Right. And what I'm hearing from, I've been in conversation with Stan Efferding, the IFBB pro and the guy who won the Olympia's Strongest Bodybuilder. Stan now lives in Vegas and he's training with Eric Spotto. I don't think he's his daily training partner, but I know they're meeting up at least weekly. And I've heard numbers from Stan. He said these were all touch and goes, but he said 675 for a triple and 600 for seven. And I think, again, he said 705 with a real like lightning flash stop. So I mean, it was a pause, but it was a borderline. And so yeah, I mean, here's somebody with the potential to become the third man in history to competition raw bench 700 pounds. But again, there's that X factor. You know, we've never seen the gentleman do it on a stage, not at his own leisure, in front of a large audience, where nobody in the judges' chairs, you know, train with the guy. You know, there's nobody running the event that has anything, any kind of personal vested interest in him as an individual. You know, it's a fair and balanced playing field. And there's a psychological factor of, if you're backstage, this is going to be the first time in your life that you're warming up next to guys that are lifting the kind of weights that you're lifting. I understand he trains. I understand that he trains with Efferding, but you know, Stan's is a 600 pound bencher, and that puts him within what, 90% of Eric. But he's never been with somebody like Al Davis, who can also sit down and rep out 600 for 4 or 5. I mean, it's just a very different feel.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, let me ask you about the handouts.
Sure.
In your meets, you know, one of the biggest complaints of like SPF meets and that kind of thing, guys that are, you know, benching 900 pounds in a full meet, geared meet, obviously, but are the soft handouts. What are the handouts like? Do you have a bench command, actually? Like some federations have a squat
command.
That's
a great
question.
Do they
have to hold that weight steady before you say bench?
Yes, they do. And that's a very, very good point. A lot of people, they become so accustomed to seeing those soft handoffs that you refer to that people stopped looking for the difference. But yeah, we're sticking to classic rules. So the handoff man, obviously we're not going to make the person hold the weight for 30 seconds, you know, before they start their bench. But the handoff man, his hands have to be off the bar and he has to be stepping off of the handoff platform out of the way. And while he's doing that, which if he's good at handing off would be about a second, the lifters have to start with their arms fully extended, demonstrating control of the lift. Then they get a start. And then as soon as we see the bar stop on the chest, which is important because a lot of the federations that shunned raw lifting and that strongly favored the multiply lifting, now that it's become the inevitable conclusion that raw powerlifting is back and it's back in force and it's the strong majority it's the strong choice for the majority of people that are either coming back to the sport or getting started in it. So now all the multiply friendly federations have now implemented raw divisions because these are money-making operations. So they've now realized that being multiply only is going to kill them off. So now they have raw divisions. But the problem is most of them have brought their lax judging standards that's so commonplace in the multiply. They've brought those low-quality judging standards over to their raw divisions too. And that's why now all of a sudden in SPF or IPA or what have you, now you're seeing all these new all-time raw record claims. Well, yeah, because there's a monolift and they cut the squat high and the bench press was like a tap and go and the deadlift wasn't fully locked out and et cetera, you know, or they had a 36-hour weigh-in instead of a 4-hour weigh-in. I mean, it's just all kinds of games and that's a big problem. So we're trying to set the standard and we knew when we implemented real respectable rules and a real respectable format, we knew we were going to lose a lot of lifters that just can't hack it under those conditions, but to me, it's worth it.
Now, do you really have a 4-hour weigh-in?
Ours usually ends up being 4 to 8, and the reason I'm saying that is 4 to 8.
Yeah, correct.
4 to 8. Yes, I understand. Right, 4 to 8. Yeah, and the reason that I say that is sometimes it's out of our control when we're on at a certain expo that we're a part of. So,
I understand that.
Yeah, if somebody wants us on at noon, it might even be like a 3-hour weigh-in. But if somebody wants us on at 6 o'clock at night for the intermission of the night show, I don't want to make guys wait until 2 o'clock in the afternoon to weigh in.
Got it.
But it's always same day. It's always morning of.
Good.
And that makes a big difference, right? I mean, don't you want to know what the guy actually weighed when he? To me, that always seems crazy. I don't want to hear that. You know, I remember a guy told me that he made history by being what? Go ahead. Yes.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this guy told me that he made history by being one of the heaviest guys of all time to deadlift 4 times his body weight. And so I said, wow. And he said he deadlifted 800 pounds in the 198 class, and that's historical. And then I come to find out the guy weighed like 235 when he was on the platform. And not only that, but he'd weighed himself in, and nobody even knows when or where. I mean, he just did his own weigh-in. It was his show. And it's like, I don't want to hear false news. I mean, what value of, I don't care if it's the stock market report or world politics or powerlifting, what is the value of a news outlet if you can't trust the numbers and like statistics you're being told?
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Hey, Sean, let's move forward here. I want to move forward because we got a lot to touch on tonight. Now, the mass, you know, Jerka puts on a great show in the Masters Olympia. I heard really good reports, but had low attendance, unfortunately, last year. And it was supposed to be overseas this year, and now they have, she's brought it back to the U.S. It's going to be in Miami Beach. And that is, what is that date? It's December.
It's the second weekend, I think, in December. Yeah. And it's actually not my powerlifting show.
Right. No, I know, but you're helping them put that together.
Just as a volunteer. Yeah, I'm an unofficial volunteer. I'm doing it because we had some phone conferences and I got involved, you know, literally because I was just inspired to do so.
Right, and that's the Olympia Masters 2012 powerlifting extravaganza. What are you expecting out there at that event? And again, this will be another raw event, correct?
That is raw and equipped, but I really don't have any interest. Yeah, they have a multiply show, which I think is great. It's going to be sanctioned by the APF, which is a hit or miss when I say that. I mean, there's some APF promoters that have a not-so-good rep and some that have a really good. I know the particular promoter for this show is Wayne Pullum. And Wayne Pullum, as far as being a stand-up businessman, I've had great experiences with the guy, very ethical, you know, very forthright. I know he's been a part of some of the WPO promotions that had more lax judging standards, but after speaking with him, he told me that they were intentionally making it a push-pull because most of the drama and the controversy comes from the squats, so they're just not doing squats. And so I'm really confident that this is a show that people should definitely watch for, and I've already called the whole laundry list of my elite powerlifting friends trying to convince them to attend that show if they were looking for a show in the Southeast. So, yeah, it's going to be rocking.
December 7th and 8th.
Yeah, December 7th and 8th. And I believe the powerlifting, if you go on MasterOlympia.com, or you can go on to Facebook, and you can just do a search for, like, Masters Olympia or Jarkas Gym, J-A-R-K-A-S.
If you go to JarkasGym.com, that's what comes up on the front page is all the Masters.
Sure, and it'll show you the whole schedule, but essentially there's a $10,000 multiply push-pull, but then what is the most interest to me is they're having it's a $10,000 raw push-pull. They don't have push-pull total prizes, but they have prizes for, you know, $5,000 being divided up amongst the raw bench and $5,000 for the deadlift, and they're doing all the prize money breakdown. It's based on, it's like a body weight coefficient, so it's all, I think it's Wilk's formula, and which is really cool because that actually favors the lighter lifter a little bit, just
right,
barely.
Yeah.
But that's getting an opportunity. You know, a lot of guys, the way in the high 100s, low 200s, a lot of times those guys don't get the shot at the big prizes, and this time they definitely do. So I think guys that weigh between, you know, 181 and 275 are going to be that block is going to have a much bigger chance of winning.
That's really cool. All right, Sean, we got 5 minutes. Are you ready? I want you to put your rant camp on. You got 5 minutes. This tonight's subject, Mike and you and I were discussing this a little bit ago, and Mike's in complete agreement with you. Now, and I will preface this by saying Stan Efferding is a great guy. I like him. Mark Bell, he's a great guy. I like him. But I got concerns. Tell me, give me your opinion, Mike. Step in at any point in this. Let's talk about gym meets. Now, we know we've talked about sanctioned events here in Miami Beach and in Las Vegas, and, of course, your events that you've done in Seattle and Dallas. There's been a propensity lately to go to gym-type meets. Tell me, give me your opinion. What do you think about them?
Well, here's my thoughts as far as gym contests. I think powerlifting as a sport, because it's not a part of the public school system in most states, it needs to have a grassroots foundation that's obviously going to be privately owned and ran. And I couldn't think of a better place to have a base grassroots for the sport than using athletic facilities, weight rooms. I mean, it only makes sense. The problem is gym meets are also a really good marketing vehicle for gym owners, which is perfectly fine. And to me, that's really intelligent guerrilla marketing. But then when it becomes a problem for the sport is when the gym contests become over-glorified. And what I mean by that is you have people that are claiming they're going to set national, international, and world records at gym functions. And by definition, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, you set an Olympic record at the Olympics. You set a world record in track and field at the Worlds. And that's the way it's been in powerlifting. It used to be if you wanted to set a national record, you would go to your organization's nationals and you would set that record. And you had to do it in front of nationally certified judges and world certified judges. And people got those certifications not only through taking and passing exams, but also through experience, which to me is a big difference. You know, it's not that difficult to become a certified judge, but it's a lot more challenging if you have to put in a long number of years showing a good track record of judging to get moved up to the nationals. So with these gym meets, it goes against the history and the tradition of physical culture and iron culture to claim that you're going to break records, anything other than a gym record, at a gym meet. And so if they had a record board on the wall, that's fine. I could even see somebody arguing that you set a city record, you know, at a gym meet. But beyond that, I mean, it's dishonest to claim anything different. So what bothers me is we're now getting the person that first set this model, in my mind, was Louis Simmons. And he did this through West Side Barbell. And what they would do is, you know, Louis Simmons had a really good soapbox in Powerlifting USA. And Louis Simmons could set up contests that had the kind of equipment he preferred, the kind of judging he preferred. He was friends with everybody involved with the stage crew, and then he had his lifters. And then he would write articles about his training philosophies, and then he would bring his lifters to this tailor-made meet. You know, everybody would get their lifts passed. Everybody would get big numbers. Then he would say, see, this is proof that my training works, and here's the products that we use in the training. Call this number to order. And it was an excellent marketing gimmick. And then prior to that, you saw it all the time, and you still do with bodybuilding. I mean, everybody from Bob Hoffman to Joe Weider would set up championship physique shows, and then their cover models would then enter the show as the top bodybuilders, and they'd magically win, and then they would credit, you know, the Weider training principles for their win, and then these products, and call again to order. So what's concerning me is now that, you know, Louis Simmons did that and achieved, you know, a modicum of success with that advertising model, and I think he made, you know, a fair amount of money, and he certainly got his name out there. I mean, he's one of the most well-known names currently in the sports pond, and I think now other people are trying to duplicate that feat. So now you've got other people, now that Powerlifting USA is gone, they're trying to put out hobby-sized magazines. What I mean by hobby-sized is, you know, 5,000 copies per issue, as opposed to, like, Muscle and Fitness, which is like a million copies per issue. They're putting out hobby-sized magazines, and they're running shows at their local gym, and they're giving them grandiose-sounding names, and they're bringing in three or four well-known lifters. It's like a publicity stunt. And then they're going to say, look, these amazing lifts are going to be world records. They're going to be passed at my gym. Visit my gym here. Look at my gym's website and all my gym's products. And then it's going to be covered in my hobby magazine, which is over here. Subscribe to my hobby magazine. It's amazing. You know, it's going to be a big magazine. I'm going to make money there too. You know, read all about it. And it's like, you have to start questioning, this isn't really a true culture of competition. I mean, you've got a person running a show with the intent of a big lift being passed, which will then be claimed as a world record in a gym, which is then going to be used to drive traffic to the video page and to the magazine to read the feature interview with the guy that said it.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't sound legit to me.
No, I agree.
No, it's absolutely not legit. You know, you know what,
right,
Jim?
Mike,
you know what Jim meets are for? Jim meets are so everybody can hang out on Halloween or on Thanksgiving and kind of hang out together, and everybody brings a covered dish, and you all do a lift, and you sit around and you drink beer together, and you kind of commiserate and talk about the year that you had all training together. It's not for world records. It's not for, you know, for advancement of the sport. It's for advancement of the individual and their products. I really couldn't have said that any better. And I think anybody that has any sense knows who we're talking about and who you're referring to. And, you know, there's a lot of strong kids out there. I don't understand why people just don't put their shit on the line and get out there to the meets, the federations that are putting on these meets, and really try to break a world record. You know, if I wanted to break Scott Mendelson's record, I'm just looking here, what federation it was APF, you know? I could go to any APF sanctioned meet and break that record. Why not do that?
Well, on top of that, Mendelson's, his biggest bench, I believe, was at the Atlantis show, which was the head judge was Ed Cohn, and the master of ceremonies was Bill Kazmaier, and then Scott Smith, who's also one of the greatest lifters ever in the USPF, was right there in attendance. And the thing that really made a big point to me was Mendelson went to that contest, and it was ran by essentially all USPF judges and lifters. It had a very USPF feel to the whole show. And Mendelson came over as an American Powerlifting Federation lifter, who's one of the age-old competitors of the USPF, and he set his record lifting against Josh Bryant and Brian Siders, who were the two biggest names at the time in the USPF. So, right. I mean, that's like facing down, you know, the two most popular guys in the league at their show with their judges, you know, and with the head guy in the chair being Ed Cohn. I mean, you really put it all on the line.
Right, I lived for years with Donnie Thompson.
Go ahead, Mike. We got to wrap it up.
Okay, I lived there for years with Donnie Thompson, and he was the only multi-plied gear lifter that went to that big NURB meet, New England Record Breakers, against Brian Siders.
Yeah,
he's the only
true.
Guy that showed up and put it on the line. And I'm always going to have respect for guys like that.
Me too. Yeah. I agree. And hey, since you guys told me we're out of time, I didn't even get a chance to mention, anybody want to hear about our show, HardcorePowerlifting.com. And we're going to have right. coverage on RX Muscle.
Perfect. Yes, we will be there with Ronnie Coleman again next year for sure. Not just a few hours down the road from where I live now. Sean, thank you very much. We're going to hear more from you in the next few weeks, I'm sure. Thanks again. We appreciate your time. And always the controversial Mr. Sean Cataly from HardcorePowerlifting.com. Mike, you know, talking to Sean, it's always interesting. He was kind of mellow tonight. He didn't go off on one of his big rants like I expected him to. He tried to be professional and polite. I think, though, that eventually something will set him off, and when we have him on here in the future, we'll get some real Sean Cataly out of him.
Well, you know, I think we all know who he was hammering, but I don't really find him that controversial. Kind of agreed with, I mean, I'm a geared lifter, but I sort of get what he's saying. In a lighter way, it's sort of what XPC is trying to do, is bring some standards back to the some standards back. But I'll tell you what is controversial. It's the damn bacon shortage, Brian. The bacon shortage.
I'm telling you, this is just wrong in so many ways. Wrong, 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 wrong. There was who was it? It was the Huffington Post. Do you know what they called it? They're calling it the apocalypse.
Yeah,
the apocalypse. Yeah. What I'm reading now, though, this is actually encouraging, is that everybody's saying no. There was an issue in the UK. Now they're saying that there may not be an issue here in the US, but prices will definitely rise on pork during the fall and winter this year. So shortage doesn't look like it's going to happen. Global shortage, Stephen Colbert says, potentially offering off a laundry list of religions with his political theories, but that's behind the pending pork bacon shortage. But that's a whole other story. So I think we're going to be safe. We're just going to have to pay more for our gluttonous pork habit. We were in Vegas, and you know what? Neither Sally nor I had it. We were somewhere where they offered a bacon martini, and we didn't try it.
Wow, you didn't drink the bacon martini?
I didn't.
That would have been delicious.
Have you had one?
No, but one of the big things they have now are these movie theaters where you can actually, they set you up in a recliner, and you could go watch the movie like you're in your living room, and they bring you food. Right. Well, they had this lovely, like, creme brulee with bacon.
A bacon creme brulee.
Oh, yeah. If heavy cream and egg yolks weren't enough with all that caramelized sugar, just throw a little bacon into the mix. Hell yeah.
Bacon creme brulee. We're gonna have to work on that. We're gonna have to see if we can come up with something for bacon creme brulee. That's awesome. Hey, I want to get back real quick. Did you come up with an answer to this week in this day in sports history? Did you come up with an answer?
I mean, the only thing I could come up with is they offered a home run, but I mean, three home runs in a row. That's not that big of a deal.
No, actually, it is a big deal. The World Series, all the time it's ever happened, 1967. It's a record that still stands.
Wow. The
1967 World Series, Boston Red Sox, Carl Yastrzemski, Reggie Smith, and Rico Petrocelli hit three consecutive home runs back-to-back-to-back off the same pitcher. I don't have the pitcher's name, but it was off the same pitcher. And they went on to win that game. So, yeah, first time. I'm proud of you, Mike. You got it right, even though you say you're not a baseball fan.
Sweet. I'm a baseball fan, but I'm more of a football guy, but yeah. And I'm more of a food-eating contest.
Like at Lumpy's?
Oh, baby, Lumpy's Diner, the big burger-eating contest this weekend.
Nice.
Wow.
I'm actually looking forward to, we've got to get together for a food-eating contest somewhere. Maybe in Columbus. We'll have to go out to Holly Mangold's sponsor, that barbecue joint that you told me about.
Yes, a barbecue spot.
For sure. Or Thurman's. It's all Thurman's, man.
That's it. It's always cold during the Arnold in Columbus during that time. So to me, nothing better than wrapping up a busy day with a huge, big plate of barbecue on a cold day and sleeping in until like 4 the next afternoon.
And some bacon.
Bacon is obligatory, that is for sure. Hey, again, I want to touch on this. Mike, you've got the NAS 105 Nationals coming up at the Phoenix Europa.
Yep, America's Strongest Man Light. It'll be very exciting.
I like that tagline. That's good. America's Strongest Man Light. That's good. I like that. 105 guys. And that's at the Europa Get Fit and Sport Expo in Phoenix, Arizona, October 20th. Now, I will be in the same building with Sally Ann and Aaron Singerman, PJ Braun, and a couple other people. We will be, Morgan, our very lovely videographer. We will be at Bros vs. Pros 12, Double Trouble. Derek Farnsworth, who was on earlier, is our pro for that. And going to be a lot of fun. $3,500 in cash. Again, the men are squatting and deadlifting 315 pounds with about an hour-ish break. The girls are going to squat and deadlift, but it's based on their body weight, so we have to weigh everybody in. And then we're doing a one-rep winner-takes-all max deadlift. Jerry Pritchett, who is just World's Strongest Man, has already contacted me. It sounds like he's going to be coming out to throw his hat in the ring to take home some cash for what I expect. I expect somebody over 800 pounds. If I don't see somebody over 800 pounds, then I'm going to be disappointed.
With straps and hitching?
Straps and hitching. As long as you stand up with it, there's none of this powerlifting garbage. This is about this is about getting it done. That's it. Just getting it done.
You want to talk about getting it done? October 10th, Hamilton, Ohio. I don't know what the SLP is, but it's a bench press deadlift in the curl championship. Oh, that's right, baby.
It's a curl pull. Is this the first ever push pull pull meet?
I don't know, a curl. Who knows? Curls for the girls, baby. A curl championship.
We see in our gym every single day the douchebaggery of curls happening all over the gym.
I can just envision a easy curl bar wrapped with big hunks of bacon.
Or bacon on a string in front of you, keeping you motivated to keep going. That might work, at least for some of us, anyway. Again, we'll be at Bros vs. Pros Double Trouble, the Europa Get Fit and Sport Expo. We're going to start about noon with the athletes meeting, and we'll have announced how the times are going to go. But you definitely need to be there before 11. Get in, get your warm-ups, get signed up. Again, free to sign up. All you do is pay to get in the door and come see us. Our booth is going to be directly in front. As soon as you walk in the expo, boom, we're going to be right there on the first stage, right inside the door. Can't miss us. Species Nutrition will be there. And this is going out, I informed you earlier about this. This is going out to our boss, the guy that makes all of this possible, Dave Palumbo. For those of you who hadn't heard, he was in India last weekend getting ready to cover the Mumbai IFBB Pro Show there, had a mishap, fell down some stairs, and ruptured his quad. He found out definitively today via MRI and is scheduled for surgery Tuesday. We wish Dave nothing but the best. He's going to have it's going to be a long recovery for him, but he will not, most likely. He says he's going to try and make it, but I think the reality will set in after surgery. He says he's going to try to make it to Phoenix. My suggestion is, after having a couple major surgeries, my suggestion is stay home, relax, recover. We have another Bros vs. Pros coming up in December in your area, New York, New Jersey, and we will see you there. So from me, Dave, get better, and good luck to you, buddy. I think that wraps us up, right, Mike? Anything else we need to touch on?
Bacon.
Bacon. Bacon is our theme. So thanks to our guest.
Bacon and curls, man. Have a big weekend in strength athletics. That's all I can say. Yeah. I'm proud of all the people all over the country that are living it and throwing these meets in their local areas, and keep it up.
Yep, keep lifting heavy. Thanks to our guest, Derek Farnsworth, IFBB Pro, who will be our pro at the Phoenix Bros vs. Pros. Of course, the ever interesting, Sean Catterley from the Hardcore Powerlifting Federation, the promoter there, owner and promoter, of course, RX Muscles, Dave Palumbo, Jeff the producer, Sally Ann Taylor, our graphics guru, Scott Hohag, Custom Stats Nutrition. We didn't talk about Scott much tonight. Rick Brewer, House of Pain, and of course, my short and... I guess we need to put it up for vote on Facebook. Who's the better looking between the two of us? But right now, I'm going to go with my age trumps your beauty. My co-host in Columbus, Ohio, Mike Johnston. We'll see you guys next week with our guest, Derek Farnsworth, who's actually going to be on for a good 20 or 25 minutes talking more in depth about nutrition, which has been a popular thing to come up from feedback on Facebook. And Derek's going to talk about nutrition prepping coming into the Olympia and now having to get turned around and do something completely different a couple weeks later. Until then, we'll see you guys next time. Until then, good night, everybody.
This has been the RX Power Hour. Check us out on rxmuscle.com and join in on the discussions.